Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What are you waiting for?
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, what? Oh, what is holding you back from sending wretched things to idea@wretched.org? What is it? What is it? If you don't like emailing, that feels like a relic, doesn't it? You can also text to Jimmy's personal cell phone, 877-282-2337, and he's awesome at responding. Unless he doesn't like the person texting, then he won't respond to you. So just keep that in mind.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, it's not your cell phone. And you can't text back.
That's correct.
Is that, you know, on that phone number that we have on the side of the machine that receives those texts, is there like a hand crank?
A hand crank.
Yeah, that you, or can you, like a water thing would generate the electricity it needs to run the thing?
Well, it actually is push button, but when you push the button, the side opens and birds come out and deliver the messages. Carrier pigeons.
We are so up to speed around here. 877-282-2337.
All right. Last week, there was a question asked about domestic violence in the marriage and returning to the marriage. And this question is from that person that asked last week. Anonymous said the question concerning whether a spouse has an obligation to return to the marriage that you answered last week was from me, the husband.
Mm-hmm.
Does what you shared last week change since it is the husband who was physically abused?
Not at all.
When I share this with others, it's usually taken lightly and they then add pressure for me to stay, yet I indeed do fear her.
Yeah, I get why people would be like, hey, wait a second, that's unusual, because we have a tendency to think the stronger one is the abusive one. Well, that is not always the case. In fact, Jimmy, would you be so kind, fire up the internet machine,
okay,
which is probably the same crank that has the birds stored with the messages. The statistics, the reported abuse of women abusing husbands, it is on the rise. It has gone up. It is not an anomaly. It is not the majority, but it is not the anomaly. And I can understand why people would first, I think, rather instinctively go, wait a second, that's not what I've always heard. And that just doesn't seem to be the natural order of abuse. Well, women can be abusive and they can do some nasty business. And some men do get abused. Does it change my opinion about being safe? Absolutely not. And if anybody is like, well, dude, you're letting a girl beat you up or whatever, ignore it. Try to overlook that attitude. It's misplaced. And you, sir, should do what you need to do in order to be safe. You got that stat already, Jimmy?
Yeah. So what the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who keeps up with these things, says about 1 in 4 men report experiencing some form of physical violence.
That's high.
Yeah. About 40% of all domestic violence victims are made up by men.
Yeah. Was just reading an article this morning. Oh, I wish I could remember the source. I didn't bring it into the studio. It was titled something like a woman's new... I don't think the word was fetish, but like something that women are really into now. Do you know what it was? Promoting violence. The people at the rallies or at the what they call protests, I think it's just a lot of criminal activity. It's being cheered on by women. It's even being conducted by women. They seem to be digging violence. So, dude, sorry. I that's going on in your world. Keep yourself safe. 877-282-2337.
So Dennis has an intensely...
You know, can I just say this?
Yes. Yes.
There is so much sin. There is just so much sin. And I'll bet if we met the fellow who wrote this, you'd meet him and be pleasant. You might even talk about some Bible things. Would you know that's going on in his life? Probably not. Now, not everybody has physical abuse going on in their home, but I'm telling you this, everybody has stuff going on in their home. Everybody. In fact, just before we began, Mrs. Friel walked into the studio and she told me that a friend she was talking to yesterday, her mother died this morning. It was like, wait, what? And there's just heartache. There's just the consequences of sin. There's the effects of the fall. And there is indeed, and I don't mean this in that squishy, gloppy, evangelical way, but there's so much brokenness. There's so much hurting going on. Don't ever for a second think that everybody else's life is perfect and yours is not. Because I'm telling you, that is just not true. Sorry. 887-282-2337.
All right. Dennis has an intensely personal question. Todd, what AI chatbot website do you and Jimmy use?
No idea. I don't know. I don't know, but I think I want a new one because I was told James, my editor from HarperCollins, told me about one and I can never remember the name of it. And even if I did, I wouldn't know how to set it up. I'm telling you, I am tragically inept with all of this stuff. In fact, okay, what is this phenomenon? Are we just so Pavlovian? Last night, Mrs. Friel said, what is your, where is my cell phone? Well, what is your operating system? And I'm like, really, darling, you have to ask me that. She said, you need to get it updated because people are able to do bad things into your phone if you don't. I had to give it to her to update my, I don't know. I have no idea how this thing operates or runs or what to do with it. So even if I could remember the name of the, what was apparently a better AI system, download an app. I've heard the phrase used. I couldn't do it. I think you're supposed to go to the app store and then you have to push some buttons. Something like that. I have no idea. Jimmy, what do you use?
Well, I just use the typical chat GPT. I mean, I don't get...
Yeah, me too. That's what I use.
I don't get deeply involved in it. That's the one I use. I haven't gone exploring for other ones.
Somebody was telling me that the AI... There's a chat room or there's a place where they can get together. AI can get together and talk. And it's like, you know, okay, maybe there is. And maybe, look, I could be completely wrong. I am not a futurist. I just saw Donald Trump being interviewed last night. It was weird. I was flipping through the channels and it was on MSNBC. And the guy was actually respectful and fair. It was like, what planet am I on? What is happening here? Maybe he was just trying to stand out over at MSNBC. The president didn't seem at all concerned. He was like, oh, it's going to create tons of jobs. Okay. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. I think there's just a ton of danger behind it, but I'm still not scared of it. I don't think I'm as enthusiastic as the president, but I'm not as fearful as some are with the AI. Again, call me naive, but it seems to me the people who talk about, well, it's going to, some country is going to get it, you know, where it's like God. No, they're not. Nobody's going to come up with anything remotely close to that because for all the stuff that an AI can accumulate, it isn't responsible for every molecule in the universe. So I'm really not concerned about that. Furthermore, if they conspire, how do we get rid of these human beings? We human beings can walk up to the wall and unplug it without electricity, which it takes a great deal of. It doesn't work. So I'm just not walking around with a black AI cloud hanging over my head. Use it as a tool, but oh boy, am I ever concerned about pastors using the AI to an extent that goes too far. Okay, I get it. There can be some gray areas in this, you know, what you research, what you look up, etc. Because if you will, even a concordance, if you want to say, hey, any research you do on the internet is cheating. You got to read it in a book. Well, hold on. I could say that's cheating. So I think we can use this tool, but wow, is it ever able to just crank out sermons, and it can crank out, would you like this in a devotional? What? It can do all of that. And as soon as pastors use the thing as a servant, use the thing as a tool, but if you're using it to do your studying and your thinking and your research and to put together a sermon, it's writing your outline. It's writing your manuscript. That you've gone over the line. You've gone over the line. And you got to get back. You got to get back. Find your way. And pastor, if this is a struggle and a challenge for you, you got to find a brother who's probably a pastor to say, hey, this is how I'm using the AI machine. What do you think? Is that going too far? Am I leaning too much on this thing? Do I need to cut it back, or am I safe? Because you can use it to cheat like nobody's business. That's what the kids are doing in school. Kids aren't taking tests anymore. They give it to AI. They aren't writing papers. They give it to AI, and then they figure out, and then there's a software to make it not look like it's AI. Pastors, you have a responsibility. Don't cross the AI line. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1727. A spiritual awakening at Herrnhut, Germany, launches the Moravian Brethren as the forerunner of modern Protestant missionary movements. This 300-member group sent missionaries to Asia, Africa, North and South America, and the Arctic. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Jimmy's Safe Space. This is Wretched Radio. You're safe, Jimmy.
Thank you,
You Todd. Can say whatever you want.
I can say whatever I want.
Well, you can.
Okay.
This is,
I'm not.
It's perfectly safe.
Okay.
You said during the break.
I wanted to tell a story to tell people that when you say you're technologically inept, you're not fudging there. That's the truth.
I know.
And I've got proof. In case people think you're not, you know.
It's a shtick.
Yeah, right, right. They think it's a radio thing. So just before the program started today, I walked up to your office to tell you we were ready. And your office is next door to Matt's, who works here at the ministry. And he called me in there to ask me to help him with something on his computer, or just ask me a question. And he couldn't figure it out. And I really couldn't help him figure it out either. But he just kept trying. He was getting frustrated. And he looked up and he said, I wonder if this is how Todd feels all the time.
No, I've gotten over it. I've crossed that Rubicon. No, I'm on the other side of it. Okay. I don't feel bad about it at all.
Okay.
I just look. The first step to healing is a recognition that you've got a problem. I don't know that the DSM has got a label for this yet, but they should. By the way, I heard that the DSM is coming out with version 6. About every 12 to 15 years, they update it, which I find really fascinating. How it's like, wait a second. You mean homosexuality used to be a disease and now it's not? Huh. How does that work? What new scientific data did you somehow discover that led you to this new conclusion? And one of the ways that they're updating the DSM-6, it's what supposedly through psychiatrists and psychologists, but also they welcome input from people who have the malady. And I thought, is that really the best way to write something authoritative, is via anecdotes from people who have what we'll call an illness to help us understand the illness? At any rate, it's coming out soon, the DSM-6, and hopefully in there, there's something. Hey, what if I coined the term? Oh, I know. I'm going to predict the future. What if I coined the term and it had my name in it? So it would be like something like hyperfreelophobia, something like that. You don't know anything about technology. Well, in about 20 years, people would discover that that's the name of a white guy. So they'd have to change the name of it. Nevertheless, there should be something. I can't do it. It's like, do you remember when it was 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning when you were a kid and your TV stopped working? It just, no more programming. It's all done. That's me when I look at technology. I've got hyperfreelophobia. 877-282-2337.
You were on the cutting edge of technology up into the adding machine.
No, what? I got lost at an abacus.
A what?
An abacus.
What is that?
What?
I don't go back that far.
Well, neither does anybody that's alive. We're an abacus. It's like look at the abacus does qualify because I don't even know how to describe it. It was an old fashioned, very antiquated system for being able to do math with disks and different colored disks that represented different numbers. Huh. And you have no idea what I'm talking about. Do you know who Andy Griffith is?
I do.
Oh, well, there's something. 877-282-233. Captain and Tennille.
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty good. Perry Como.
Yes.
Hmm.
The Love Boat.
Kate Smith.
No. Ugh. Just lost all respect.
Ooh, the kids, they just don't know history, do they? 877-282-2337. Can we get to something here?
This is from Anonymous, a text. Todd, our 15-year-old daughter has proclaimed Christ as her Lord and Savior and has had a tremendous amount of growth. A few weeks ago, she expressed desire to be baptized. She also asked if I could be the one to baptize her. I was deeply moved by this, but I let her know that we needed to search it out biblically first. So far, I have not found a reason why I cannot be the one to dunk her. But am I missing something here?
Are you missing an explicit text? No, you're not, because there isn't one. Are there some implicit texts? I do believe there are, and that automatically tells me I'm going to have to be really super cautious about making a law when I don't have explicit texts on the subject. You can make a law from implied texts sometimes, But I think the rule is usually not, because it's a pointer. It leads in that direction. But I really need something definitive in order to make a law. So you haven't missed finding an explicit Bible verse that says a parent cannot baptize their child. Let's take a look at the implicit. And by the way, these texts are, in this instance, these aren't even implicit texts, right? What would there be like a third level? Explicit, it's like, okay, dads cannot baptize their daughters. That would be really explicit. Implicit would be like, oh, we kind of, in this text, we see this. We're not exactly sure what's happening in that baptismal ceremony there. So maybe that's about, this isn't even, I don't even have any texts about baptism. So whatever would be even outside of implicit, it would basically be a theological issue and then applying it to a scenario. The theology in this instance is ecclesiology. I would go study the church. What is the church? Specifically, what is the relationship between elder and parishioner? We see there's a very close relationship. You've also got an authority issue. You've got somebody who's putting themselves underneath the authority of this individual who is in that office. And that individual is actually responsible for the tending of your soul. Whoa, that's a really profound relationship. Now, I take my ecclesiology and I ask the question, what would be the best way to speak a good word about the relationship between an elder and a parishioner through baptism? Because baptism speaks, just like communion, we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. It speaks. How we do it actually says something. Who administers it? It does say something. Now, I'm not going to make a law because I don't have those types of texts. But I do see a relationship dynamic underneath the umbrella of ecclesiology that says that should be considered. That should be considered. And I would conclude at the strongest that I would put it, if somebody came to me and said, hey, can I baptize my daughter? The strongest I think I'd be inclined to put it is, I think that the Bible, it can point us in the direction of an elder and the candidate for baptism. But I don't think that I would make it a law, and I'd have to say, but it's your call if you want to do that. We're going to make sure that it's done decently and in order. We're going to make sure that it's handled correctly, because the elder would be the one responsible for guarding the ordinances to make sure that they are done properly. But I don't think that I would prohibit somebody from doing that, because I see a pointer in ecclesiology, but I can't come to a conclusion. This might be helpful. It's similar to baptism and cremation. I think the Old Testament points us toward burial, because that's what we see. Everybody gets buried. Everybody gets buried. Simultaneously, it's the pagans that would burn bodies. Now, can I make a law out of that? No, I could make a stronger case, I think, than the baptism question. For instance, I think that burial speaks a word of hope. It speaks a word about the body. It speaks a word about the future. But I would not go so far as to say cremation, therefore, is a sin. Ditto with the baptism question. It informs me. It perhaps points me toward a best practice, but I can't make a law where there is no law. Jimmy, would you add anything to that?
No, I completely agree with your assessment.
All right. Yeah. All right. That troubles me, Jimmy. 877-282-2337.
Hey, recently you referred to delivering an AI sermon as acting skills. This is from Jay. What do you call delivering a manuscript? Is it legitimate to develop a skill? Like we're not reading a manuscript.
That's, you know what? Okay. Let's see if I can articulate this in a clear way. That is a really fair question, because I did denounce that if you're just AI does all of our sermon writing, then the pastor just needs to learn how to act. That's all he needs to do is learn how to deliver it. Having said that, when it comes to actually preaching, when it comes to the subject of homiletics, yet delivery is a component. We do study that to be good communicators. In my mind, there's a vast difference. There's a vast difference in being one who has written a manuscript who cares about these people, wants to see this word not just inform, but transform them, and how to do it in the most impactful way, not because you want them to think that you're a brilliant actor or you're a brilliant deliverer or you've written a brilliant sermon. It's because you want them to be changed by it and you don't want any impediments put up. And so, for instance, somebody says, is kind of your go, is your go to, go to. Sort of like when you ever you hear a tennis player interviewed. yeah, my backhand was today. You want to get rid of those because you want to be an effective communicator. That to me is a whole lot different than not writing a sermon, pretending it is your own, and then putting it on like it's a performance and not a moment between God and his people. I'm going to try to work on that articulation, though. That's a really good question. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Well, the global war on Christians continues unabated, with new data revealing persecution has reached historic highs in India, despite the country's slipping one spot to 12th on the Open Doors 2026 World Watch List. And in Pakistan, a country that ranks 8th on the list, a Catholic man was doused with gas and set on fire by a Muslim neighbor over a dispute so trivial it defies comprehension. The man simply questioned why the other man was staring at him, and now he lies in a hospital with severe burns to his face and neck. And in Somalia, which ranked 2nd on the list, a mother of 3 and her husband are in hiding after they both converted to Christ, punishable by death under Islamic law. Meanwhile, more than 388 million Christians worldwide face severe persecution. But yeah, tell us again how Christianity is the oppressor. And as we ask you so frequently here, please make sure that you're continuing to pray for all of our persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world. Here at home, a Florida judge has barred Coastal Family Church from holding worship services inside property the church purchased in a strip mall. The judge ruled that public assemblies violate the shopping center's covenants. Apparently, the Dollar Tree next door is fine, but gathering to worship Jesus crosses the line. Liberty Counsel is appealing, noting that Florida's Religious Freedoms Restoration Act should protect the church. President Trump marked National School Choice Week with a proclamation reaffirming that parents, not bureaucrats, have the God-given right to shape their children's futures. The announcement came the same day reports revealed that California officials have been pressuring schools to hide children's gender confusion from their parents. Trump touted his administration's effort to end DEI indoctrination in schools, declaring America's golden age begins in the classroom. North of the border, Canada's Conservative Party proved that conservative is sometimes just a label. Delegates voted down a proposal supporting parents' rights to seek therapy for gender-confused children, with party leadership reportedly organizing to kill the measure. One MP dismissed it as divisive. Apparently, protecting children from irreversible medical procedures is too controversial for Canada's so-called conservatives. And speaking of institutions abandoning their principles, the University of Notre Dame has appointed a vocal abortion advocate who once linked the pro-life movement to white supremacy as director of its Liu Institute for Asia and Asian Studies. Distinguished faculty have asked that her appointment be rescinded. Those requests have all been denied. Apparently, Notre Dame's Catholic identity now just seems purely decorative. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates sent directly to you every single day. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joel describes a series of disasters that serve as God's judgment and a warning that an even more severe day of judgment is coming. When you see the power and fury of creation, do not fear nature, but fear him who controls nature. But if God's people will turn to him in repentance, he will be compassionate and rescue them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Fine. Then you articulate it. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy?
Yes?
How would you articulate the distinction between taking an AI sermon that was written for you and learning how to present it as an orator and as an actor versus being in a homiletics class where you hone your delivery skills? What's the difference?
Well, there's a huge difference because one, you didn't write, the other you did.
Okay, so but the focus is the practicing of the delivery.
Right. So I think it is a skill. Delivering something written word is definitely a skill. I mean, we know that we're in radio, but I think the goal, what your goal is, there's a legitimate goal, there's an illegitimate goal. I mean, the legitimate part of it for me would be if you're trying to remove the distractions where the people can hear you and understand you with clarity. That's a legitimate goal for developing the skill.
And then even go on the other side to become an orator that people are even that like it helps them even more to consume the content.
Right. Yes. Yes. But I think if your goal was to, well, I just want people to feel like I'm spontaneous. I'm not reading. I'm just being. If that's your goal for developing a delivery skill, I don't think that's legitimate at all.
I think too, Jimmy, the issue of the author of the contents, because what do you call people who read other people's lines? You call them actors.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Now, if you're putting on sort of a dramatic presentation, that is simply a different category than preaching. Preaching is different than any other form of oratory. It is radically different. The way that it is structured, the way the subject matter is applied, the way the thesis is presented, carried out, and concluded. And furthermore, you've got the spiritual interaction. You've got God speaking to people through a man's sinful mouth that he has studied, that he has put together with prayer because he knows the sheep. And he knows what the needs of the body are. And so he's putting this sermon together from his heart, from his labors, from being a workman who rightly divides the word as a shepherd. And he wants now to present it in such a way where it just doesn't trip anybody up. Now, I will say this. If you're going to homiletics class, perfectly good homiletics class, because you are going to be the next Winston Churchill. You are going to be the orator deluxe who just presents thing in such a way that people just look at you and think you're the bomb. You got the wrong motive. You got a problem too. That's not the right motive. I do believe there's a line between getting better at oratory and seeking to become an orator that people applaud. Furthermore, I do think that it is the contents. Who is responsible for them? Furthermore, these pastors that are AI sermoning, do they get up and say, good morning, everybody? Just want to let you know, I did not write a single word of this. I prompted AI. Are you ready? And then you know what comes next. Morning, church. How's everybody doing today? Because even AI falls into that trap. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. It was a text. Todd, I had a required HR training to do this week at work. They had a drag and drop questionnaire to identify different types of discrimination.
Oh, drag and drop.
Yes. Drag and
like,
drop.
What's a drag and drop? Is that like a new candy, like a gummy worm?
I'm sorry. Drag and a drop questionnaire to identify different types of discrimination. There are some questions where I have to state that the given example is transgender discrimination or homosexual discrimination. As a Christian, this doesn't feel right to approve of. What are your thoughts?
And I would have to see the drag and drop to know, because we would be opposed to discrimination. But I'd have no problems answering that. If it asks for affirmation or if it defines discrimination as you're judgmental or disagree, then yeah, I would have a problem with that. I would. And yeah, I personally couldn't answer stuff like that. And I would immediately be ready to articulate my religious reasons for that. Because without that, I would think they could make your life pretty ugly. And I keep returning to having the mindset that we are indeed sojourners here. You and I are gers. We are sojourners. That was Hebrew, by the way. A ger. This isn't your home. Making our way through 1 Peter, we've been stalled out now for 2 weeks. But Jimmy, you'll be pleased to know, on Sunday we didn't do church, but we did an online thing.
Oh, you did?
Yes, we did.
How'd that work out?
couldn't see anybody.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, I'm just kind of, you know, like, talk. I could see myself. That made it horrible. But I was in no fellowship. We didn't do singing because that would be weird. You'd just be singing in your house all by yourself. So we didn't, you know, it wasn't like a full-blown service, but at least we did get together. And it wasn't as sweet as what it is going to be this Sunday. So I'm going to be preaching a sermon that I'd actually written 3 weeks ago, and I've been able to work ahead like 6 or 7 sermons. It's been magnificent in that regard. But I'm noticing this theme in 1 Peter. It is the sojourner theme. You're just not here for the stuff the pagans are here for. For instance, the pagans, you've had enough of your own life, said Peter. You've done all those things. That's behind. It's not who you are. Now the pagans are going to look at you and go, hey, you used to do those things. Why aren't you doing those things anymore? That is just one of about 20 examples of this is, we are here for grander things. We are here for a bigger purpose. We are supposed to be eschatologically minded. This is heaven, baby. That's the eternity that we are looking forward to with a living hope. And while I'm here, I've got to be ready to take a shellacking. For whatever reason, they're going to mock you. They might fire you. Now, you can take advantage of all of the laws that you want to protect yourself. We see that Paul did that regularly enough. So take advantage of that. But I think adopting the mindset that this isn't it. And I'm here for something different. I am here ultimately to silence mouths with my behavior so that they ask for the reason of the hope that lies within me so that I can proclaim the excellencies of our Savior. That's why I'm here. Now, does that mean that I no longer have any concern about employment? No, certainly not. But it finds its proper place. And it helps me to understand why it is that I could not get the promotion because they know I'm a Christian. And I can actually, here's a challenge for you. Do you know what Peter says our response to those types of things should be? Do you know what he says? Rejoice greatly. You go, well, how am I supposed to rejoice greatly because I'm taking a beating at work? It's because you're taking a beating because of righteousness, because you are being identified with your Savior, because this is about experiencing your salvation, your faith. I think this is coming up in a sermon. To use the term you were born again isn't really right. You were born again, but you're still being born again and you're going to be fully born again in the future. In other words, your salvation, it's a past, present, future. So when you're experiencing hard things, you're looking forward to the rest. You're looking forward to the glory that's given you. You're looking forward to the crowns that are given to you. You're looking for the fulfillment of your salvation in the future, and it brings it into a correct perspective. And it allows me, I can be bummed out about being passed over again to a degree, but I also can rejoice greatly. Look at what I'm participating in. Now, that's why you've got to be suffering for righteousness' sake. If you're suffering at work because you're not a good employee, well, then that's on you. But if you're suffering for righteousness' sake, Peter tells us, rejoice greatly, because it's not about your job. It's about your faith. It's about your salvation. It's about the completed work of Jesus Christ, which has ongoing and eternal implications. That is the perspective that we need to strive for that. And Peter is being relentless in beating that drum. This isn't about walking around with our head in the clouds, but this is about walking around going, you know what? This is not my home. My assignment is not to make the world a better place per se. My assignment is to be holy, to be a chosen people, to be a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, a people of God. That's my job. That's my job. Oh, that thing that I do from 9 to 5, that's how I bring money home. My job is to be an elect a chosen sojourner, so that, as salt and light, an eternal impact can be made. And that is why we can rejoice greatly, even if you have to do a drag and drop, or in this instance, a drag and drop, answering some dopey question. You can accept the consequences. If you can't in good conscience answer that question, I don't know what the question is, so I can't tell you what to do on it. But if you're standing for righteousness, you can go home and say, honey, we have got something to rejoice over greatly. I got fired today. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Now, be honest with me for a second. Is your marriage thriving, or is it just surviving? Are you and your spouse building something together, or are you just really trying to get through another week without another major blow-up? And Fortis Institute fellow Pastor Brad Bigney hosts a podcast called Thrive, and that's exactly what it's all about. What it looks like for marriages and families to actually flourish instead of just holding it all together. Brad is a pastor, he's a certified biblical counselor, and as I said, a Fortis Institute fellow, and he brings decades of experience to helping real couples work through the real stuff. And this is the kind of Christ-centered content that we're producing every single day here at Fortis Institute, and it's only made possible because of our gospel partners. And if our ministry has helped you in any type of way, we would love it if you would prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us reach more families with the truth of God's word. You can find out how right now at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options: be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription. No hidden fees. Just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is the sound of providence. This is Wretched Radio. I found it digging in my garbage can yesterday. Shared some extensive quotes from one Octavius Winslow. He's a dead guy. 1870, he wrote The God of Love, talking about how we should remember that everything about God that we know about him must always have the backdrop or foundation of his love. So every one of his excellencies, every one of his attributes, behind it stands love. And there was a quote in there that I was reminded of because of the face that Jimmy made. At the end of the last segment, I said, if you get fired for the sake of righteousness, not because you're always late, but for the sake of righteousness, that is a blessing because you're being persecuted for the Lord's sake. You're being identified with Christ. You're participating in his suffering. You're experiencing your full salvation, past, present, and future. So you can say when you get home, honey, look at this. I got a pink slip today. What a blessing. And Jimmy, you made a face. So let me share this quote okay. that I found on page 9. Here it is right here. This is from an old dead guy. Into this ocean of divine love, let your heart, just as it is, plunge. Repair with all its sin and sorrow and weariness to no other purifying, comforting source, but to the shoreless, soundless sea of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, descend in simple childlike faith into its depths and lose yourself amid its boundless infinitude. The love of God, thus filling and overflowing in your heart, all will be well. Winter will blossom into spring. Spring will blush into summer, and summer will ripen into the golden fruit of autumn. Oh, how the love of God changes the aspect of everything. Here it comes. Afflictions are then seen to be disguised blessings. If you have been afflicted by firing because of your righteousness, it is a disguised blessing. Trials, proofs of divine faithfulness. So, Jimmy.
Yes.
The dead guy agreed with me.
Okay.
Now, you got to be a little careful with this because it's like, okay, I'm going to go be righteous so that somebody will tase me on the train right into Atlanta. No, 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 no. Or something bad happens and it's like, whoop-de-doo, that was a riot because I'm being persecuted for his name's sake. No, we're not weird and we're not stoic and we don't pretend that suffering isn't just that. It's suffering. We do feel it, but simultaneously, God reframes everything we understand about suffering. It's for your good. It's a trial. It's a test. It's a preparation. It is God discipling you. And you are participating in his cosmic drama of the salvation of souls and the glorification of his son. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, yikes, got to deal with stuff. Got to deal with money issues. We're going to have to cut back. Goodbye, Netflix. All right, we got to start. I got to get my resume. You do all of those things, but simultaneously, you can have a steadfast joy. Remember what Peter said, rejoice greatly in these things. that requires such a transformational shift. I just caught a short of Johnny Artavanis. It was not very long, and it was kind of impactful simply because it was visual. He said, some of us in the Christian life, we aren't over here, and he used his right hand, like over on this side. You know, that's the big nasty stuff. We know better. We don't do those things. But over here, way over here on the left side, you've got fullness of joy in Christ Jesus. Delighting in knowing God. Delighting in being known by God. Understanding reality. Rejoicing in sufferings. Understanding ethereal things. And enjoying the love of God. That's over here. Most of us are kind of in the middle. We don't do the big uglies, but we're not diving into the sea of God's love either. We're not fully participating in our past, present, and future salvation. And that was the end of it. He didn't go anywhere from there. You know, shorts, how they are. And I think he's right. He's right. And the goal for us is to be moving to the left. Now, I don't normally say that, but I'm stuck in my illustration. Move to the left. that the totality of your life, this is all about Jesus Christ. This hurts. Rick Warren was right. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It ain't about anybody but Jesus. Immerse yourself in that. Align yourself with that. Let that be your resume. Let that be your CV. Let that be your identification. Let that be what motivates, what guides, what controls, what informs. That's becoming more Christ-like and simultaneously enjoying reality that it was originally created to be. That's the goal of the Christian life. And I really think Peter was after that. Peter was after dualism. Peter was after that tendency that we all possess that says, I'll go to church, I'll study my Bible, but then I got to get to work. Then I got to deal with the kids. We got to get to the softball game. Wrong, 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 wrong. The softball game is about Jesus. How you raise your kids, it's about Jesus. How you manage your day, it's about Jesus. What you do at work, how you work, how you get to work, it's about Jesus. All of it, that's reality. Be moving constantly, not in a mystical way, not in a Watchman Nee kind of way, where we become Thomas of Avila, we're mystics, and it's just, oh, I'm just having these ethereal thoughts. Oh, I tripped over something again because I'm dead, my head so far in the clouds. No, we're here, but we're on assignment here. And our chief assignment isn't the stuff we do. Not saying that's not an assignment. That's not our chief assignment. Our chief assignment is what we are. Now, what we do, primarily, what we are, that's what God is after. Because out of what we are, that flows the what we do. That flows that's the motive for why we do what we do. So doing is not irrelevant, but more important is the who we are. Not doing, but being. That's the Christian life. And the more you can, sorry for this, mindfully work toward that, the more joy you're going to have. And the more you're going to be able to receive bad news, the more you're going to be able to cope with difficulties, and they abound, the more you will be basing your life on the rock. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Jennifer. Todd, I know you recently touched on guilt by association, but at what point and to what degree does a church stop promoting or listening to a teacher because of their association with someone who's clearly problematic?
It depends. It really has to be taken on a case-by-case basis. One of my favorite memories of Phil Johnson is when he was like, because Phil never, okay, I can't say never, because in this instance he did. We were at G3 10 years ago, something like that. And I was asking him about degrees of separation. And I think we all affirm this. Phil ain't a dummy. And so if I would ask him a pointed question about it, he'd go, well, but you see, it depends on, and then you got to consider, and so he couldn't give like the, boom, here's the line right here. 1 degree, 2 degree, 3 degree, couldn't do that. Because it depends on the association itself. It depends on the knowledge of the individual, of what they understand about the person with whom they're associating that you think is wonky. How wonky is that person? How much do they actually, how do they feel about that teaching? All of those things need to be considered. And I think, even Phil was like, there just aren't clear-cut rules to this. It needs to be done with so much wisdom. Now, I see ditches on both sides of this. Typically with typical Big Eva stuff, it's like, whatever. Some, yeah, they teach Buddhism too, but, you know, they've got some good stuff, so let's just eat the meat and spit out the bones. Eh. On the other side, it's like, okay, so I know this teacher and he's really good, but he went to a conference once with this guy who was actually on an airplane once with a false teacher. And he didn't confront him. So I can't have a relationship with any of them. No. That's going too far. I wish that I could answer your question. If Phil can't, I can't. approach it with wisdom. Always, even in this, we want to simultaneously be a Berean who hopes the best. You want the best, hopes the best, and make wise decision. And in these instances, it's always really, really good to get counsel. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.